fractal of consciousness currently expressing itself as a human being in the most authentic way that we can imagine. Always remember, take only what resonates and leave the rest. Welcome to Mental Magic. Dr. Joe Dispenza says that as more and more people start to wake up to information, there's a change in energy because change in consciousness requires a change in energy. And greater energy causes systems that were once stable to become unstable, to become chaotic, as chaos is just unpredictable order. It's novelty, it's newness, it's the unraveling of systems. And once those systems are unraveled, once they break, something better is bound to come. So hang on, because this is a really profound time to be alive. We are in a moment of great change, collectively and individually. And my guest today is a consciousness explorer who has journeyed through his heart, mind, and soul with the guidance of his formative caregivers, plant medicine ceremonies, and a week-long meditation retreat hosted by Dr. Joe himself. In this episode, we dive into the complexities of our mental bodies, the importance of becoming spiritually bilingual, and we exchange ideas about how our perceptions of reality have been reshaped so that we can have a better understanding of what it means for us to be human. Dominic also explains in detail his experience at the Dr. Joe retreat and the significant impact that that experience has had on his life thus far. As Dominic mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we met through our mutual friend and fellow seeker, Barry Taylor, and anyone who knows Barry knows that the company he keeps is not only eclectic and eccentric, but most importantly, at least in my opinion, these are some of the most genuine, authentic, and intentional kind human beings that I have ever met. Dominic embodies every aspect of these qualities and so many more. And so I invite you all to journey with us through this conversation into the effervescent world of Dominic Flores. All right. Hi, everyone. We are back. And today I have another guest for you that I am so excited for this conversation. So first off, Dominic, if you can go ahead and introduce yourself.
So hello, I am Dominic Flores. First of all, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm very excited to do this. I'm so, like, thank you so much. I really am happy. I find you very much a kindred, what's the colloquialism, the kindred spirit. We're part of a group of hooligans that has been, did you go through Christianity like I did? I don't mind that because I think it leads into my everything anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just whatever we are, like survivors of Christianity who still kind of like hold that invisible thread with one another, mm-hmm. like Wonder Woman's lasso. And it keeps us as a carass of people through Barry Taylor. So yes. Barry Taylor should probably get a shout out.
Absolutely.
In the podcast. So the beloved Barry. And I am an actor, TV film actor in Hollywood. Been doing that for 20 years and have had enough success to finally be able to call myself a TV film actor and be proud of it. And I'm also just a spiritual enthusiast that has been on a path to source, a path to love and through Christianity in the beginning, but my whole life, and we'll get into that. Thank you so much for having me come in specifically today about the Dr. Joe Advanced Meditation Retreat. That was the impetus that we're going to get to, right?
Yes.
Of what that week is like. It's a 7-day long event that part of me telling you about myself is to tell you that I don't go to these things lightly or quickly, mm-hmm. or without feeling a deep calling inside myself. I'm 53 years old and I've been at this a while. So it takes a lot to pull me into some new way of thinking. So how about that? Do I stop there with my intro? Will that
That's
work?
That's perfect. I am so interested in digging into this with you.
All right, great.
And so the first question I asked all of my guests is, what does it feel like to be you?
Yeah, you gave me a little prep. That was going to be the question. So I've been thinking about that. And it's a very different question than my introduction, the feeling part. So what does it feel like to be me? And I was a little thrown by that. It's a very, we're by we, I mean me, but I'm going to speak in the third person or the collective we. We're a very strange breed, us Dominic Floreses of the world. And we're a certain archetype, right? Or is it, wait, archetype? We're definitely a certain personality type, a certain empathy type, a certain creative type. Because it's kind of like the biblical expression, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. I think Paul said that. One of them said that. That's what it feels like to be me. A lot of fear and trembling, but yet always onward. And maybe I will say bravery and courage, because the reason I'm fearful and trembling is because I don't see anyone else doing what I'm doing. I feel like I'm out there in the front a lot of times. So it's an interesting balance, right? To be completely afraid all the time, which I am, and trembling all the time, like so insecure about what I'm doing, so much needing other people to look to say, like, is this right? Are we doing this right? And at the same time, braver than anyone else out there, because they're not willing to go there. And courageous enough to say, you know what? I have to follow this. So that's the feeling of what it is. And it's emotional, and it's got a lot of depth to it. And then it has a lot of, like, you know, I don't believe in mistakes, but it has a lot of scary kind of, it's scary, you know, at times. I've scared myself quite a few times. How about that? I've scared myself quite a few times in this life. Mm-hmm. So that's what it feels like to be me. Want to join? and a little, you know, with a healthy dose of madness, right?
Of course. Because, I mean, I just think this life journey in general is, nobody has really laid out a clear map for anyone who's trying to do something different or new or interesting. And so when we met through Barry's collective, if you will, you stand out as someone who is truly beating to your own drum and bringing in a new energy that other people can be curious about and also be so intrigued that you invite people into your energy. And so were you always like that, or how did that kind of transform for you to where you, like you said, you're at the front lines of just living life your way, and then people come along if they're intrigued?
I was not always that way. Was the polar opposite up until my teenage years. Specifically, my dad, who passed away when I was 21 and was also geared my way. Mm. We're both very fallible human beings too. I've improved on that, but I'm no stranger to everything that in his life that got in his way. But he called it when he had his best years before he passed. It was very spiritually kind of advancing on a quick ascension. Okay. While he was preparing to die, thinking he wouldn't die, right? He had leukemia. I thought he would live forever. But he called it being bilingual, being able, he was Bolivian, Incan and Quechuan Indian from Bolivia, part of the Salvation Army, though. So I was raised in this kind of church setting that was like the Salvation Army, which most people know is like at Christmas time ringing bells, but they're a church at their core. They're an army of salvation, and they do all the good deeds and all the good works. And his parents ran an orphanage for the Salvation Army. And because they're called that, the organization, if you're a clergyman of any kind, you're called an officer. You're a captain. You're a major. It's a very strange, strange kind of insular Christian sect founded by William Booth. In Bolivia, my dad was raised kind of as an orphan with all these other orphans because his parents ran an orphanage. So even though he had siblings and all that, they all were kind of mixed up with these orphans. So him getting to America and then, you know, adjusting here, he became a gardener. But he was this very great Latin musician player through the Salvation Army. So the English language thing was always a thing. So being bilingual was a term of his. But the way he meant bilingual, this is my long road back to my explanation, is spiritually bilingual, meaning you can be in the world but not of the world. You can speak to Christians but kind of also be able to kind of see through that and understand what's really being said. So I had this gift, I felt like, through my father of being bilingual. So I can walk in two places, listen to what they're saying, and feel like I can understand it and not put the resistance that other people would put. So I can kind of see through what they're talking about here. My dad's example of that might be even something like, when a friend of ours passed away, I remember my dad, the grandfather, the kid was young. He was 21 and he died. And the grandfather was just so sad and he was smoking a cigarette. And my dad never smoked cigarettes, but I saw my dad smoking a cigarette with the guy. You just go to where they're at. You're bilingual. You understand what to do and what that means. But that really makes an interesting mind, because sometimes you're doing stuff that's not ever really going to be understood or appreciated by the people you love the most. Mm-hmm. So that, I don't even know the basis of where your question started, but that is where I got my confidence and what the compliment you gave me. I call that the confidence to really believe in what I'm believing in. Before that, it was a terrifying childhood. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how it was for you, but I always knew I was different.
Yes.
I always knew I was the adult in the room, even when I was 3, 5, 7, 9, 10, you know, and when things were happening in the house, I knew, like, it was almost like, you know, when I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend, and I would play Monopoly with him. I'd play chess with him. I'd play Star Wars with him. I spent a lot of time in my room, read a lot of books, and he was very real. Yep. He would never cheat. He'd always make better players. And there was this part of me that almost thought he was me from the future. Like if there was some kind of time travel thing that happens in 2050, that it probably is me just going back and hanging out with that 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old until he got a real best friend and making sure that he wasn't alone, you know, because I was so alone and so misunderstood. And what is it for you? Is that a good thing for us?
It's so exactly
similar, right?
So similar. And I've had that same exact thought of, like, I believe that the imaginary friend that I cultivated, that it felt so real that it is maybe a version of me from the future. And so now I go back and like think about that older version or younger version of myself. And I'm like, let me just send energy that way because she still exists.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So knowing that, and not necessarily knowing if that's the truth, but just understanding that through who I am as a creative, as an artist, as an person of imagination, it's not hard for me to go to that place of saying, oh, maybe it was my future self playing with me as an imaginary friend, where some people would see that as a, oh man, you're going into a crazy place now. This is why I can't track these kind of podcasts and conversations. I would invite you to be bilingual and listen a little closer, is that it's actually so thought out. It's so thought out that, again, I wouldn't, and I don't think you would either, say these things without that self-examination and investigation. You can't really understand that there's a truth to this in a very esoteric, very existential way, but yet also a very powerful way that runs my life now, without knowing that we've closed so many gaps, you and I. We've healed traumas. We've looked at things. This isn't coming from a broken place of some kind of like, they just want to make up this bullshit to live their life because they're so broken. It's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. That by mending all the brokenness in us, we realized that there's a deep magic, like Aslan says in Narnia, there's a deeper magic that like can destroy the white witch and that comes before it all. And in Christianity, it was Jesus. But yet, even with the limitations of Christianity, you understand there is something so deep that all of this stuff that we're going to talk about now and that we're talking about is really investigated. And where I go to, where we latch on to, we're going to end up at the Dr. Joe Advanced Meditation. The reason we're going to end up there is because there's a lot of truth to it, backed by what his science and what science is showing, that now I can say this with even much more confidence. This is backed by medical science now. And there's people at UCSD following his work and working through him. So these are people with PhDs who are not going to put their PhD that they worked 12 years for on the line for some bullshit quackery, for some fake healer. So right. I don't have to apologize. And not even apologize. I don't have to work so hard anymore. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm still working hard right now to convince myself, because you guys got to understand, it's been a long time of knowing how full of shit you sound. And knowing that we didn't keep good company, you know, there's a lot of scurvy scum around us and pirates and whatnot. And we know we took the hits, but yes. 2023 now, and
Here we are. We've made it. We've made it this far. And the interesting thing for me is, you know, kind of climbing out of the world we grew up in with the different types of religious programming that we received, and then waking up, I would say, into a world where we're able to actually dive into ourselves, reveal new truths that have come up that are being backed by science, that are in the process of being continually proven over and over again. It does, for me, it has created that, am I crazy? Is this, are people just like dismissing me? But in my journey, I've been on it for a number of years now. I know that there's more of us that are coming out and saying that, you know, this is real for me. I've had these experiences too. You know, for me, I didn't talk about my imaginary friend for decades because I felt like I was a lunatic. And now to hear you having the same experience, coming to some of the same kind of conclusions, you know, if you will, is validating. And it's affirming. So first, I want to thank you for just being yourself and being so open and honest about your journey. And then if we can, just dig into this Joe Dispenza meditation. How did you hear about it? And what was it like for you?
So, okay. So we'll go back a little bit to merge it in. The thing that got me into first understanding myself, but it was a little young, was in my high school teenage years, I did psychedelic did LSD, mushrooms, pretty much everything I could get my hands on before I was 18. My brain was a little young for it. Mm-hmm. So it was not, the experiences were just really hard to integrate later on into my life. So one thing though that was interesting was my first experience with prayer. Like I always had prayer in church, but prayer was very external. It was very much about, for me, when how in my Christianity, it was about God doing something outside for me, to help me. I didn't have a lot of it wasn't coming from anywhere inside of me. It was coming from God inside of me. So on the one hand, it worked, but it just didn't have, it was more of a powerless kind of feeling, my prayer was. And then we switched to a church that was very charismatic and part of that 80s movement of the spirit kind of thing with Chuck Smith Sr. We went to Chuck Smith Jr.'s church, and it was when the gifts of the spirit were very encouraged. And at 10 years old, I remember being baptized by the high school youth pastor along with my brother and sister, but I was that 10-year-old who was kind of getting it. And that night at the worship time around the fire, we were in Catalina Island, I started speaking in tongues. And at 10 years old, it was just weird enough to where I don't care if anyone else believed it. It was just my first experience with something completely overtaking me. I couldn't make this up. This feeling was so foreign. The pleasure it gave me was so real. And the tears coming out of my eyes were so necessary. And then investigating it and seeing that it's the urgings or groanings of God, like it's God praying to himself almost. I remember hearing it described. It's like God knows your pain so much that let him go in there and just bring it out for himself, which still kind of makes sense to me because you do feel like an outsider. I would feel like an outsider to the tongues. Like I'm watching this, I can tell it's healing. I can tell it's necessary. I can tell it's real, but I don't know what the fuck is happening either. Right. I have no idea.
Right.
What's happening, what's being confessed, what's being healed, what's being, you know, cried out for and help. But that was something that I wanted back. And I would go back after that Catalina retreat and I'd go in my little closet and I'd let tongues come again. But it just couldn't hang. There was nothing really around it to really let it hang. So it got ditched really quick. High school plant medicines and stuff came in and kind of broke my brain. And then at age 20, I had a spiritual revelation. And it was like a 7-day experience. Mm-hmm. My father was alive and with me. And him being Quechua and Incan Indian kept me out of like mental institutions and that route. Because I literally was hearing a voice in my head, an audible voice. And I was literally, now, was this from the psychedelics that had been taken? Sure. But what about that 10-year-old who was speaking in tongues? He didn't do psychedelics. So what the fuck? Mm-hmm. So you can't just say it was some bad psychedelic aftershock. And your father's catching an Incan. So what do you do with that? He's used to this tribal way of dealing with things. Even though he was raised as a Christian salvationist, there's a core to who they were, which was indigenous plant medicine, ceremonial. And this is where you pull the blankets of your ancestors over you and let the wind and let them cross over you. So we were doing a lot of symbolic kind of things to get me better. He didn't leave my side. Mm-hmm. He slept in, you know, so as I was having all these crazy images of heaven and hell and devils and angels, I'm speaking about myself in third person that I'll be back in a few, and having like, that same energy of that, I came out of it pretty great, pretty healed, mm-hmm. pretty back grounded. I was able to re-engage with church again because I hadn't during high school because of the psychedelics. And, just everything. I got cute. I got girls. I didn't want to go to church. I was living my life. And it was the 80s. So going back to church, I ended up becoming a youth pastor and being a very integral part of the church and advancing in the church. And it was very easy for me to see a future in it, as a career even. And I was very appreciated in the Christian church. And my dad was a musician, and he had cancer and he was dying, but he was also at the top of his game. He wasn't an asshole so much anymore. He wasn't being a typical Latino bullshit guy to my mom, who was a white woman. I'm half Latin, half, but she put up with a lot of bullshit from his, just that typical thing that we don't have time to get into, but it's all that bullshit. Everything about my dad was bullshit, but he was also this amazing guy. Mm-hmm. So that gave me Christianity after that would never be the same. I couldn't really buy into it. I knew what had happened to me in this experience. But then when my dad passed away, I moved to Hollywood and became an actor. And it happened again when I was like 28 years old. And this mm-hmm. time my dad's not around. And this time I go through the Western medicine and I'm diagnosed manic depressive. And that's what this is. That's what it's always been. Here's some meds, start taking them. And they would keep spinning me out into more manic episodes. So then, being an artist and an actor, I would investigate this delineation between what's a psychotic episode and what's a revelation from God. Mm. What's the difference? And there are differences. So you go down all of that, but still nothing ever really was able to put any real healing in any grounded place to where I feel like I am now until 2007, 16 years ago, when I started doing plant medicine in a ceremonial way. I went to Brazil and did an ayahuasca retreat for 10 days. And that is when I really delved into the fact that this is my people. This is my lineage. This is what I'm about. And I knew I was either going to have a psychotic breakdown there that might be the worst one yet, or it would be so many answers. And it ended up being so many answers. So then from plant medicine journeys, you activate this pineal gland part of yourself and you're having these DMT experiences and you really are once and for all confident about this weird mind of yours. And you start reinvestigating all the imaginary friend stories or UFO stories or anything, whatever. I know the stuff you're into, like all that stuff, the plant medicines for me answered and integrated everything where it was. So then how do I keep that going? I can't take mushrooms every day. So while a lot would manifest and there was a lot of abundance around me and a lot of things were in alignment, I couldn't latch on to meditation. I wanted to. I just couldn't. I just would get bored. Like everyone says, when you don't do it. Are you a meditator?
I am. Daily? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So So that is why specifically you were like, oh, look, tell me about that retreat.
Yeah.
So I wasn't. And then in 2023 in March, all of a sudden it became completely necessary. And I don't know why, but I felt that calling from the beginning of the year again. Like, it's time. Something's happening. Something's moving fast again. The spirit's calling again. And we had been in the group already, I think, Barry, but I knew something was happening, a different kind of engagement. So I started doing new medicine. I started doing a San Pedro cactus. It's called Huachuma from Bolivia, mm-hmm. which is really my lineage. It's the Huachuma. That's what's really in my Quechua and Incan blood. So I'm like, let me start working just with that. And that's more of a peyote kind of experience. It's more of a father energy as opposed to like the mother energy of ayahuasca and mushrooms. So, and I started meditating, and that's where I found Dr. Joe on YouTube. My buddy who I had reconnected with from childhood, he started meditating and I'm like, all right, I'm going to start too. He's one of those super successful marketing guys. Mm. And I'm like this strange artist guy, but yet together with like there's a superpower between us. I can activate his artist and he can get me more in a mode of like how to have a real vision of the future and build something around all this. Mm-hmm. So the meditation got me to Dr. Joe pretty quick. I had heard of his book, Becoming Superhuman, Supernatural or Superhuman? I always change the title. I think it's Supernatural, technically.
I think it's Supernatural, yeah.
Right. And the fact that most of his basis, which I had resonated with from the journey work, after you do the journey work, there's so many synchronicities in your life in the next week or two. And you really start seeing that that's something to latch onto. And Dr. Joe's whole thing is that, like, you better be getting a synchronicity daily. So I was like, oh shit, this guy's really speaking the language. And this book is a book I really wish I would have written, because I don't know the information, but that I had a feeling we were superhuman and supernatural. Mm-hmm. So I was a little behind on him because he'd been around a while, but right. I didn't find him till YouTube 2023. Very quickly realized, oh shit, it's happening again. This is someone to really, really allow in and investigate. Maybe he'll turn up a little bit stinky. We'll see. But until then, I'm going to keep going. I'd felt that way about A Course in Miracles back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I'd felt that way about Abraham Hicks back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I'd felt that way about Barry Taylor when I met him. It's not that often. Mm-hmm. I love Tony Robbins. I love Deepak Chopra, all of them, but none of them really were something that I needed much of. I love them all. I did the Landmark Forum. I've looked into Scientology. Again, I'm bilingual. I can see all of it, kind of. But Dr. Joe, boom, hit me that, like, I can get there quick now. And so I went right to the $2,300 advanced meditation, which is kind of what you have to go to if you want to do it. He doesn't offer much, like, basic stuff anymore. Mm. But there's almost 1,500 people there now.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's since COVID. I think now it's at its height. I think something with COVID kind of clicked in a lot more people to it. I don't think he was this big 10 years ago at all.
Right.
There's not a lot of access to him anymore. You're with him all day, so you don't, I don't know, I don't feel the need to talk to him. Mm-hmm. But it's such a sophisticated program now. There's not much group participation. There's no, like, hey, let's raise hands. How was that for someone? Let's hear one person share, you know, like you always are used to. He is down to business. He is there to teach you a technique that people like you and I can learn who are already pretty mystical. And the same technique can work for Joe Blow on the street who sits behind a computer all day and organizes spreadsheets and never entertains the mystical. They can also, like, it's very subjective. But then it's very personal in how you use it. So I don't know how it was for the other 1,400 people, but he works really hard to get everyone there to have a mystical experience at least once. It's 35 hours and 7 days worth of meditation. You meet from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. You get a breakfast and a lunch as part of it. They're always in these very luxurious 5-star hotels, so that you are treating yourself like, you know, you're surrounding yourself with the, you know, God that you are, kind of thing. You know, he doesn't shy away. He doesn't apologize for wanting abundance and wanting, you know, any kind of wealth kind of things. But the majority of the people there are for his healing, because he claims to actually heal people, fibromyalgia, cancer, deafness, blindness. Someone grew their own thyroid. Outlandish shit. That, like, is so easily just to, like, if I was European, I'd be like, you fucking hyper Americans. This is such your bullshit. This is such your bullshit. Of course you have this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to make of it, but it completely did transform my life. So this was in Florida, Marco Island, Florida. They sell out quickly. Like, within 10 minutes, they will sell out these advanced retreats.
Oh, jeez. Sometimes
it'll last an hour, but you got to be on it. And I wasn't on it. I got on the wait list. And I thought, we'll see what's happening. Because honestly, my life's going great right now. I'm working with these new plant medicines. I'm doing YouTube Dr. Joe. Things are flowing. I'm already in the solution. But hey, I'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I got offered a spot. And it's always in that 30-day window, because there's no refunds after like 30 days with Tuit. And you sign up maybe 60 days before it. So at the 30-day mark, people who aren't going to go actually are like, oh, fuck it. And they they cancel and get their full refund. And that's when it opens up for waitlist. And I got offered one. So I called my wife and asked her, like, should I go? You know, we're trying to be a lot better with finances. We have four kids. We're trying to really kind of, go the opposite of putting anything on credit cards and whatnot, you know, and not spending more than what we earn. Bring right.
In. Yeah.
So, at the same time, I'm an actor, so I'm used to feast or famine. So I invest in myself all the time. So I don't mind holding credit cards and holding debt and paying the interest on those. I'm like, well, that's fine. It's allowing me to do what I want to do. So that's always a tight little balancing act too. So all that to say is I asked my wife, should I go? She said, go for it, because I can't get a refund at this point. Mm-hmm. And so I went and instantly regretted it. I mean, I paid for it and then instantly said that was a mistake. Okay. I don't want to spend $2,300 right now, plus the hotel, plus an airfare. But, you know, I was proud of myself because normally I wouldn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. But I was like, no, man, finances, I'm a new man. I don't spend that frivolously anymore.
Yeah.
So I had a commercial. I had a Walmart commercial I had booked, and I hadn't gotten the residuals yet. So I'm like, all right, well, this should cover it. This will be good. I felt good about that. I don't count on residuals, like the amount. I could make $2,000. I could make $20,000. But I felt like I wasn't being completely wasteful. 3 days after I signed up without getting the refund, I got a call from my agent saying they're not going to run my ad. I got paid for doing it, but they're not going to make any residuals. And I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And that's usually where I'll spiral and I'll go down. But again, things were different this time. And I said, well, that's pretty good, because I definitely would not have signed up for this meditation retreat knowing it had been canceled 3 days later. So I'll trust that actually this isn't like a bad thing now. Like, how are you going to pay for it? It's more like, you weren't going to sign up. So, you know, I didn't even get to know about that until after the fact. And then one of those synchronicities I'll say is, lo and behold, after the retreat, the first day I got home, all my acting checks I have go into my mother's house because it's a permanent address. Mm-hmm. We had moved around as a family, and I was losing residuals at these other houses, and the checks would go to the wrong house. Mm-hmm. My mom says, hey, you got a check from the agency. And it was a check for $2,500, exactly what the thing cost from the residual from the Walmart commercial, because lo and behold, my agent was wrong. So this is what Dr. Joe in that weekend says will happen. And this is the stuff that Abraham Hicks claims and all the law of attraction claims and the secret and everything, blah, 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 blah. And it's the stuff that people like don't really know what to do with, because you can't live your life that way. But then Dr. Joe's like, or can you?
And to me, it speaks to not necessarily a self-trust as in the ego self, but a self-trust as in the collective self, right? The higher self, whoever is leading this show that we are just following the breadcrumbs of, right? And so with Joe Dispenza, I haven't dug too deeply into his work, but anything I've heard from him, I'm like, yeah, he's tapped in. And it was interesting when you were mentioning how there were several different people, Abraham Hicks and Barry Taylor, of course, that resonated for you. And then others, you were just like, okay.
Eckhart Tolle, Anthony Robbins, they're all great.
Right. They're all great. But I'm interested in this idea of a frequency. I think some of us are just on different frequencies, and some people resonate, sync up with us, and they have something to gift us, to offer us. And other people may just be a slightly different, tuned a different way, and it doesn't sync up. And I think that is also part of the journey in allowing yourself, your intuition, your higher self, whatever you want to call it, to guide you to those teachers, healers that can bring out in you what you're looking for. And so when you were in the meditation experience, was it like a psychedelic experience for you, or was it just kind of like, you know, mantra? What kind of meditation was it?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was going to be one of those corporate kind of name tag kind of places. And it is more that, which is fine. I'm bilingual. I can deal with both. I can be in the jungles around a drum circle, or I can, you know, be in a convention hall. Mm-hmm. My wife, when I came back, I so wanted her to just instantly go on one. Dr. Joe ain't her person. She likes them and all. But like you said, she's got different ways. And I don't care, as long as... Now, the thing with my wife is she can be closed off and not tell me, because she can get really into her work mode. And I don't know that she is kind of meditating or listening to some cool thing on the way to work and getting out of her head for a minute. So I kept pushing, and it was a little bit But then she's like, wait, would it help you to know that I kind of am doing this whole this Mind Quest thing on Mind Valley app? I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, yes, that would help. Yes, please talk to me more, because I'm sorry. I didn't think you were doing anything. So I'm going to keep pressing my guy. But hey, honestly, yes, we just all have to be kind of doing our thing. So Dr. Joe, with his specific meditations, resonated for me because I think that's what you asked, right? It was so much like the psychedelic journey space. Mm. And that's where I think I was leading into I needed something to bridge these journeys I'm doing, which I used to do like once a month, maybe even twice a month before I had kids. But I have 4 kids now, and we're in the middle of soccer practices, and I got a lot to do here.
Yeah.
So I can't journey more than once every few months now in any way that would be necessary. So what do I do in between? How am I keeping it together? Mm-hmm. So meditation was working, but it wasn't really doing a lot. But then Dr. Joe on YouTube, I started getting these weird mystical experiences on the YouTube ones. My wife wasn't. She was doing them with me. She was cool. She likes Dr. Joe, but you know, she doesn't need to drop $2,000 in a week of her life on his retreat. Okay, she had no issue with him. And I'm like, yes, you do. but I was having these mystical experiences. I was having these awakenings. But at the retreat, they went to that next level. They were very similar to where I'm like in the journey. And it's because all of these, I wasn't capable of doing more than a half hour on my own on YouTube. Why would I? I mean, that's kind of all you need in life. But if you're going to pay $2,300 and he's going to do his thing, you're doing these long form ones that are like an hour 15, an hour and a half. And there's a final one on the last day that's 4 hours. And you get up at 4 a.m. And you're building to this thing. You're building up to this the whole time. Oh, and he created these things called walking meditations too. Mm-hmm. Walking meditations are cool. I mean, he didn't create them, but one part of his system is like, you can have your eyes open listening to these meditations, and you stop every 10 minutes and kind of sit there and tap in, but then you walk for another 15 in that power. So it's a combination of all these meditations you're building up to for this 4 a.m. meditation. And his rationale behind it is that's when your melatonin is at its highest. Between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m., mm-hmm. you're sleeping, right? So your melatonin's kicking in. And the claim that he's saying, based on, you know, through a lot of lecture, it's basically 2 hours of lecture, 2 hour meditation, 2 hour lecture, 2 hour meditation, you know, with breaks in between. Right. So the lectures are super important. He's super into, you got to know what we're going to be doing in this meditation in this next phase and why. Mm-hmm. And you're going to repeat it back to each other. Whoever you're sitting next to, you're going to repeat back. He does that method of where every 10 minutes, tell him what I just said. Because if you can repeat it back and explain what he just said, then it's locked in for you. Otherwise, you'll forget it within minutes, or not, you know, not minutes, but hours or days. Mm-hmm. So he makes us constantly talk to each other back and forth to the best of our abilities to explain what he just said. What he said was that the most melatonin's in our brain at 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. and that this melatonin, that if you squeeze your spinal fluid from your first energy center to your sixth one where your pineal gland is, it can actually, melatonin can turn into DMT. Mm-hmm. So you're explaining this back and forth. So at 4 a.m. you come out for this, for your biggest one, and he calls it the body electric meditation. And you're going to make your whole body into electric, and it's going to be 4 hours, and it's going to come in all these phases. And so that is this idea that, and I think there's something from a guy named Winhom breathing technique. I think there's these breathing techniques. Mm-hmm. Winhof.
Yep.
Where you squeeze your butt cheeks. It has, mm-hmm. there's a squeezing butt cheek thing. And that's basically what Dr. Joe does too.
Okay.
And you kind of, you squeeze it up, your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chakra into your sixth chakra, which is your pineal gland. Dr. Joe has spent 2 hours before that in lecture mode, literally showing you a pineal gland with scientists, like even a real one, like a brain. And that's the pineal gland right there. It's like this little tiny pine cone looking thing, mm-hmm. which is sacrosanct in all these religions. It's so cool. It gets so new agey. But the science thing is that it's actually there. It's real. And that's, it regulates melatonin in a scientific way. But in the spiritual way, it turns into DMT. And then you have this journey-like experience. So if I do an hour and a half meditation every morning, which I'm doing now, I get up effortlessly at 4:30 in the morning, then after about an hour, I'll have worked my, you know, of him activating different energy centers. By the time I get to that pineal gland, it turns into a DMT experience. And then you kind of drift off for the last 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's no different than being on mushrooms or ayahuasca or any of those places. And you're in, it's a realm that's much bigger than my imagination that I already have. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it sees imaginary friends. It's bigger than that. It's that undeniable part of you. And it gets weird, you know, like you start seeing, you know, praying mantis aliens, or you start seeing it's a whole experience. I apologize to every woman I'd ever hurt in my life. And, mm-hmm. and I healed then it went to every person that I'd hurt. And it was better than a journey at that point. And mm-hmm. then, and that's the benefit of 35 hours of meditation in 7 days. The ones I have now are obviously not that intense, but right. they are on a pretty major level. So what you're paying for is to really go for this, to find this power within yourself in a really, really concentrated way, so that for someone like me, I don't know how it'd be for you, I'll never unforget it. And I can even investigate and try to see, you know, I've Googled plenty of times, Dr. Joe controversy, Dr. Joe bullshit, Dr. Joe, you know, and everything they come up with, it's like, oh, he used to work for the person who did whatever it is. It's not stuff that I'm like, none of that stuff. There's nothing flagrantly, obviously, where they're not real. It's so obvious, these healings. So that's why I was pushing my wife. Cause I'm like, I don't know. I know we were meditating on YouTube and I've gone deeper now. And it's been a full month since I've been back.
Yeah. And I think the component of it that also is so helpful with the integration, which I want to talk about next, is the education piece. So when we're bringing our awareness to new information or information that hasn't been, you know, processed in our subconscious yet, it definitely impacts the experience that you're having in your physical body. Because, you know, I fully believe that our bodies are self-healing machines, technologies that have these capabilities that for various reasons we no longer have access to, or we have to go through, you know, different experiences like this to awaken these capabilities within our bodies. Mm. And so with that, I think that's a brilliant technique of having the lecture and then having your participants repeat it. So it's not just washing over them, but they're really sinking it into bringing their conscious attention to it. Because that alone can change how someone's experiencing a mystical experience versus just having something they can't explain. If you could put language around it, it helps that much more. So with having the experience of the 35 hours of meditation and then all of the awarenesses and visions or whatever happened to you internally, how do you process it in a way to where you can integrate it into your life going forward?
So I'm curious too, how it is for the bulk of them, because what mm-hmm. instantly became clear for me was the plant medicines. That's how I integrate it, because it's mm-hmm. just really, it just let me be in complete alignment with that. But how do you do it if you're an office worker who just was brave enough to go? And there's plenty of them. There was a lot of people who were nowhere near being able to kind of like, they're getting it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I've done like 100 ceremonies. I know what I'm looking, I this isn't, it's not fair, but I mean, how do you do this without being either mentally twisted already, which they do such a screening process. They don't want that. If you're bipolar, they kind of don't want you there. Mm-hmm. They're not looking to like, you know, harm you. So I just did a lot of like, nope, 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 nope. Like, yeah. I know the trap's there, mm-hmm. but, integrating it is okay. So what you said was great. It's those 2-hour lectures. Like you resonate with that too. Like, okay, mm-hmm. now I can see how it becomes so much deeper and something that you can go into. And there's a marketing. I saw the marketing aspect behind it. I saw the business behind it. He's like, you're going to need this again in 3 months. I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. That's a way to get us back in 3 months to do a follow-up retreat, which I probably am going to do, because he's not wrong. So, it's also like they're very good at kind of like, you know, so you see all that. So you come back. You have to engage. I went there 100% open. Mm-hmm. I made a joke out of it to Barry. I don't know if you were there that week, but I was like, I'm so ready to be brainwashed. My brain, I am going to be brainwashed 100%. All of it. They're laughing, you know, because I knew what I was saying. I knew what I was doing. But you really have to be able to go into it 100%, fully do it. Don't waste your time. Yeah. And buy into it all. And then you have to, what's cool is, you know, what he's taught you is you're in your subconscious. You're the closest you can get to your sleeping state and your waking state. So you're in all that subconscious print. You're past all the alpha. You're into the beta, theta states where you can reprogram stuff. And that's all scientifically kind of proven kind of stuff. And then we get into NLP. We get into all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's the state you're getting yourself into. You have to integrate by doing daily meditation and going right into it. It's like you just paid for a fat camp and you lost like 20 pounds fast, right. But you gotta now just be on it when you're home, right? And eating great and working out and walk, you know, it's like, so you gotta really keep that meditation practice open. And luckily it's easy because what he teaches and what happened for me is there's an actual, I'm a pleasure seeker. I love pleasure. Mm-hmm. It feels so good. What he did with the breathing techniques, He's pulled in all kinds of stuff, right? All kinds of modalities. If you went, you'd be like, oh, I see he's doing so-and-so and so-and-so that I used to study with or look at. Right. So you're fine. So you're like, I see. And he's making his own creation, which lets you know you can make your own creation.
Exactly.
So I came out of it going, what is my creation? Mine is obviously bridging this to plant medicines because now I can have a journey every day, a little mini journey. And that gets me to the journey. And we're doing one tonight for 11-11. I don't think the listeners will know this, but we started this at 11-11. Like I'm trying to make this whole 11-11 thing happen.
It aligned.
So, right. So I'm doing a ceremony tonight with a group, and this will be the first time I've actually really put, it'll be my first ceremony since Dr. Joe, but it'll be my first, I have done a journey on my own, but a group ceremony. I did one on my own. It was much more insanely cool. But tonight I'm going to add a meditation to dropping in, which I had never done before. The plant medicine does its own work. You don't have to do all this work, this meditation work. You know, that's the whole point of doing plant medicine. You just take the plant, it's going to do it for you. Dr. Joe showed you how to do it completely sober, completely on your own, which is cool. Yeah. And no hangover, you know, you don't have to, you know, exactly. You don't have to like, so I'm making my own bridge now between his work and the plant medicine work. In the full knowledge that I think this is my part of my soul's purpose, which is what comes from his work. It grounds everything so carefully. His goal from the beginning is for you to integrate this into your life. So it's the best tool I've found out there. Again, I haven't gone to Tony Robbins or any of those guys, but I feel like his whole thing is designed for you to ground and integrate when you're gone, and also just enough to come back for more so that, you know, so that he's building his company or what. I don't know how to, I want to mean this in the best way.
Yeah, of course.
But he's healing people. So that's the part that I still can't get my head around.
Right. And so for you, is it the healing aspect of it that is like the maintenance work that you're trying to integrate? Or is it a mindfulness thing? Like what is happening for you? What's changing your life?
So there's a mindfulness aspect that's first and foremost with me. Mm-hmm. Just to, like I said, this fear and trembling of who I am, you know, I'm still, you know, as an actor, I can't, I do investigate, I run, I'm in a very emotional person. Actors are called emotional firefighters. It's like, we're a firefighter. Yep. There's a hero gene I've heard in people like firefighters that not everyone can run into a fire. Your body just won't let you. It's just too damn hot when you get to that flaming door. Right. If it's your own kid, I'm sure you can get in there, but I don't know that you can for a stranger. Just, I know my body will shut down and be like, we're not going in. We're not dying. Mm-hmm. But a firefighter has this gene that can just go. And apparently we don't have to feel bad if we don't have it. There's a certain kind of hero thing that they can go in for strangers and be firefighters. Mm-hmm. But actors are emotional firefighters. We go into all these emotions that no one ever wants to go into as actors. Mm-hmm. Who wants to put themselves in the brain of a serial killer or a pedophile or a womanizing drug addict? You know, like, and that's what, and we have to understand these people, love them. If we're going to play them well, we have to accept them. And so we're these emotional firefighters where we can kind of like feel all those feelings, but yet that does, you know, you see people like Heath Ledger, they end up dying playing the Joker, you know, they OD on drugs because they can't figure out how to come back. Mm-hmm. So I need to, my mindset is the most important thing, because I don't actively know if I have any physical cancer or anything that I need healed. So my mindset is where I can go off the deep end, because I'm supposed to be able to look at all these, you know, what's happening in Gaza with Hamas and Israel and see these gory images. I'll protect myself to a degree, but at the same time, I can't be someone who will naturally just not think those thoughts. You know, like Abraham Hicks will be like, just don't think of bad stuff. And that she's right. Just don't. Just tell your brain not to. But I have the next level of like, I kind of have to sometimes though. Yeah. But I also need to do it and have a certain protection from it so that I'm not fucked up in the head. So that's what this mindset does and allows me to do. His work's allowing me to have that more so than the healing physical part. But I think it also gave me a real comfort. And like, I have four kids, they mean everything to me. What if they get cancer? What if they get sick? What if they, something happens, you know, on the one hand, don't think about it or it'll manifest it. But on the other hand, well, fuck, I'm an actor. I might play a guy with a dying kid. So I have to just also know that there's the, what you said, that power in our, we can heal ourselves. Mm-hmm. But that's a possibility. I may not understand that yet. And I'm only scratching the surface of that threshold with his work. But same with plant medicine ceremony, being some kind of healer of the world is my soul's purpose. I really, what if, you know, Christianity, how's Christianity? They're like, hey, let's pray over you, sister. Let's heal you. Right. Like, I liked that they gave us that. They kind of gave us that. Like, we'll just pray. God can heal you right now. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. That, I don't know if you had that, but like, we were raised that way, right?
Yes.
We believe in healing. It doesn't have to be the way the doctor says it.
Exactly. And there's so many different tentacles, and I'm opening myself up more now to how Christianity and the programs that I received from that world are also, it's like we're saying the same thing with different words, and there's different technologies, but it's the same kind of energy of there's something that you can't explain that can bring healing into your system. There's something that you can't explain that can help you organize your mental body. And if that thing is God outside of you, or if it's your energetic field, your aura, whatever language we want to use, all of that is speaking to this mystery of what it means to be a human and how can we do it in a way where we can function. I hear you saying that this journey for you is really helping you not only with your career and with your children and right, being able to maintain that balance, but it's also allowing you to have more openness to just the human condition and the human experience, not shut ourselves off and say, okay, I'm just not going to think those thoughts, but let me let it in with some guardrails so that I don't fall off that deep end.
Yeah, because I understand that, like, if I could, honestly, if I was an act, maybe I'm still geared this way no matter what. Being in the church, you have to be open to pain too. But like, some people can just like, I'm not watching that movie. I'm going to just stay positive in it. And I think that, man, that's so lucky. It's such a, I don't think they really need to watch the news. I don't think you need to. You're right. I don't think to. I think you're allowed to ignore all that bullshit. And what's nice about Dr. Joe is what he understands, and I think that's probably why at this point in my life, he's the most important one that's working for me, is because he understands that, how does he word it? Science is the language of the world. Like, to be able to justify, to find all this in the scientific part, mostly is, evidence? Evidence is everything. Like, that scientific evidence is so much proof to people. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he can have that now with his people at UCSD and actual people with PhDs and people with actual, you know, he's Dr. Joe. I don't know where he gets his doctor from. I'm sure it's a mixture of a lot of things, but I don't think he went to school for 12 years. I could be wrong, you know, and got a PhD.
He was a neurologist or some kind of
brain. He was a chiropractor too. Yeah. He helped me. Yeah. Like, hey, the guy's credentials are legit to me, but who he has working for him now at UCSD that's backing all of this with their PhDs, that speaks volumes to my sister, to my mom, to people like that, to most of the people. I don't have to try and people like you and I, we can speak the other language. We can like, we know about energy fields and stuff like that, but other people, psychologists, those just, we're just getting down to these wavelengths, these subconscious places. And that stuff is provable and it's becoming irrefutable. No one's arguing that anymore. Mm-hmm. So, that part he gives you. And I think that's just, I don't know. Do you need that? I don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're braver than me. Maybe you don't. Nah, fuck it. If they don't believe me, they don't believe me.
No, but I'm definitely, love having it. No, I love, I mean, that's why I'm doing NLP now, because I want more of that language to be able to explain to someone who is not on this trip at all. Someone right. who is very logic minded, scientific. I'm like, okay, well, yeah. there is actual proof behind it. Let me understand it. So I think there's so much value because it's that awareness piece. When you yeah. open people's awareness, it can expand their own subconscious mental map to be like, oh, maybe.
It feels like where we're going. It's 2023. AI is a huge component in my life right now. And where that's going to take us, combined with, honestly, these meditation practices, these mindset people, and then plant medicines. A lot of the people in the mindset world are now openly combining plant medicine ceremonies as the legalities of that become. It's a big world we're entering into the next just 2 to 3 years.
Right.
If you have AI, psychedelics becoming legalized, and then mindset and meditation becoming the prevalent way for big, what do you call it? The big companies, mm-hmm. tech leader, that's their go-to. Meditation's now the go-to for that. Then it feels like all of this for people like you and I has been leading up to this time, right? In that way to where we're the storytellers, or we're the shamans, or we're the, you know, like, you will get what I don't know. I would love to hear your story now for a half hour that we don't have time for, but because I know you have been looking for your people too, right? Like, mm-hmm. who the fuck can understand what I went through here?
Right.
Exactly. And you and I honestly haven't talked much. But we, mm-hmm. I think we both know, I know that you, I know when I'm speaking, I'm like, this is her life too. I know she fucking the same completely. Shit. Yeah. So I can't wait to hear your story too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the reasons I started the podcast, because I'm like, I just need to find people who are at least somewhat on the same frequency as me so that I don't feel so isolated in my own experience. And so I'm so, again, so grateful for you coming on talking about this, because I just think we're just putting feelers out into the universe, however we want to say it,
yeah.
to let other people know that, hey, you know, if you have this happening for you, this imaginary friends, if you're having these visions, right. it's all good. There's other people like you.
It's funny. The frequency is what I connect to most with you. And then the idea that Dr. Joe gives that I love and I think would work for you too is, and I know you've heard it, is this idea of living, you live a whole life in one day. Mm-hmm. Every meditation, he puts you into a new, at the end, he'll say like, now as you come back, when you open your eyes, walk into your new body, yeah. into a new mind, into a new environment. And it's almost like every day you're living an entire life, shedding your skin, and the next day living an entire life. So there's no past, there's no future, and there's mm-hmm. a way, and that works for me. Like, okay, I'm going to do the podcast at 11:11, then I'm going to get the plant medicine stuff ready, and then I'm going to go to the house, and that's all. That's my whole lifetime today. Otherwise, that overwhelms me to no end, a mind like mine. And you and I, I'm going to speak for you. You and mm-hmm. I can shut ourselves in, not want to engage, get pretty overwhelmed. Like, Jesus, I want to build this podcast and it's going to be this. And I know it's going to be this, but I'm done. Forget it. Yep. I'm going to sit there and watch TV for 5 days. All you have to do is today, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do that because getting people to plant medicine ceremonies is no easy task. Even when they're called and they know they're supposed to be there, there's just a lot of stuff in between it. And the people I'm calling are people like you, people who are like, oh my God, a group, people, a night. No, I love you, brother, but I just, the next one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. If it's just today, every day is just today. That helps me for whatever reason that we live an entire lifetime in one day. Yeah. And how'd you do today? How was your lifetime today?
Exactly. Yeah. I love that concept because it's the idea of if we're looking at how we actually live our lives, the now moment is the only moment we'll ever experience. Everything that happened before it is a memory that's being constructed in our mind, subconscious. And then the future is endless potential. And so that present awareness, I live my life in a somewhat similar way. I mean, you know, living in a modern world, there has to be some kind of like planning that I do. But if people ask me to do things, I'm like, I won't know how a future version is going to me feel about that. So right. ask me maybe a little bit closer because it's changed the way that I think about how I even show up in a space, because I'm not showing up out of obligation. I'm showing up because this yes. is actually aligned with what I want to be doing.
Yeah. And before you felt guilty about that because so many people do, they're so efficient. They just do it even if they don't want to. And you're like, fuck. And they're getting shit done. And damn it, I'm not doing it that way. And I'm never going to really get what I want if I'm not doing it that way. And it's like, no. Mm-mm. Dr. Joe in the he was, he talked about one of his mystical experiences he had when he was figuring this stuff out. And he was looking into the fire and the fire was giving him the meditative thing, right? Because a live fire switches so much. And he saw himself when he was a kid. And this is what gave me my imaginary friend piece in the retreat. He saw himself, he said, as a kid. And he was remembering that he used to love having fevers when he was a kid because he would get fevers quite a bit. And whenever he would get fevers, he would go into this mystical state when the fever would reach like 103, 104. And his mom would be terrified and give him like aspirin or whatever it would take to bring the fever down. And he would pretend, he said, to take the medicine. He wouldn't take it because he wanted to feel these crazy mystical experiences. And I'm like, what a freak. I never did that.
Interesting.
So he's looking into his fire. Mm-hmm. As a 45-year-old man or whatever he is, when this happened, it wasn't that long ago. I think it was like less than 3 years ago, maybe a 50-year-old man, whatever he was. And in the fire, he sees himself and he looks to his left and he sees his kid having those fevers. And as a kid having that fever, he saw himself seeing Dr. Joe at 50 by that fire. During one of his fevers as a kid, he saw Dr. Joe looking at him from that fire. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Joe was like, oh my God, there's no difference between past and present. I actually am looking at my kid and saying, have that fever because you're going to be here. Mm-hmm. And as he said, he did that. He looked and he saw 85-year-old, whatever age, future Dr. Joe, seeing him looking at himself, discovering the child in from the fever. And the future Dr. Joe was like, yes, you're doing exactly what I wanted you to do tonight, looking in that fire. And that's leading you to who you're going to be here. And I got that. And I got chills when he said that to me, Christina. I was like, this is what's happening. This is when I saw like, oh shit, the imaginary friend at 53 years old in 2023 at the advanced retreat, Dominic realized his future. Yeah, I saw my future self going, I'm pulling you to where we're going, all those mystical experiences. So that's what I do daily, is my future self is calling me every day.
Yes.
My future self knows what you're supposed to do today. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun because then you're integrated with your child, your present self and your future self. And there's no mistakes that are being made. And it's not easy. It's still a tricky day that can be fraught with fear and trembling and terror.
Right.
It's just today you also have a tool to meditate and feel good, and then it'll feel good. It won't be so hard, you know?
Exactly.
And so that's what's interesting. And then it's exciting because then we know we have this future self that's been pulling the strings the whole time. And that future self is just your present self today, you know? So when he said that, I'm like, holy shit. I didn't know. he's my guy. Do you follow anyone who talks about future selves or past selves? I'd like to know. Anyone else do that?
Yeah, I'm part of Jessa Reed's community, but she's more of an experiencer. And she's like, this is my experience, take it or leave it. But the way that she lives is so authentic to who she is that I'm just like sold in. Because I'm like that, it's not necessarily what she says that I'm so wrapped up in. It's more of how she moves in the world and how she just expresses herself.
Jessa Reed?
Jessa Reed, yeah. So she's a comedian.
Oh, rad.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you would actually really
I'll check her out.
The community.
Does she specifically talk about the future self, past self, present self?
Specifically, she talks a lot about conscious. It's really hard to explain. We can get into
it. Are you and me the only ones talking about imaginary friends?
I don't know. I haven't really dug into the whole or heard anybody talk specifically about the imaginary friend being the future self. It's something that I kind of just connected myself in some of the energy work that I've done with different people.
But just experientially on your own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See what I'm talking about? How cutting edge we are and in the front? Because that imaginary friend. So my buddy and I wrote a script. He's marketing guy that we reconnected. Because I told him this idea. Like, I think this imaginary friend would just meet from the future. He's like, that's cool. So he wrote a screenplay for me to star. He's like, hey, let's make you a star, right? And it was, but there was a technology behind it. It was like 2035 or 2040. And there's like a technology where you can go back. It's like a kind of like movies we've seen before where it's like, hey, welcome. It's called Relive. hey, welcome to Relive, Christina. Where do you want to go? You want to go see it? Where do you want to go? 10 years old? Oh, that's good there. We'll get you back there. It's gonna, okay. You go back and you talk to your, through an imaginary friend. That's, and anyone who had an imaginary friend was really just doing this Relive system that you can do now for, put this little headset on and you're going back and you're there.
That's wild. That's a really cool idea.
Right. So we were writing the script on that level, not knowing that it was a very meta thing. Mm-hmm. It was actually becoming a spiritual foundation for something. We're actually like, huh, wait a minute. Are we writing something that might probably is true? Kind of thing. So that's what, where that AI, that's where these mergings come in right now. Mm-hmm. And this idea of imaginary friends, I bet you, you and I are, I bet you this, let's, we're going to note when the date is on this, right? Cause I want some credit. Sure. I think that's one of the burgeoning new things we're going to discover.
It really could.
So many kids had imaginary friends.
So many of us, but I don't remember talking to my friends about mine because I thought it was a weird thing to do. But the thing that's helpful for me with this idea now is I have developed, I mostly have the marker of my 60-year-old self that she is like, who is the shit?
Oh, wow.
And so I fully now trust her to lead me to become her. And so in the decisions that I'm making in my life, it's consulting that future version of me who already exists, because time is not linear. It's a construct. And I allow her to make any little decision, but it's that trusting her. The trusting her that's hard. Sometimes I don't always listen, and I'm, you know, which is part of the journey.
Trusting thing. So you feel most connected to your 60-year-old self from 2048, which puts yourself at 60, which puts me at 78, which maybe I could have done some reverse aging by then, right? To still be like, because I would see my future self in the Dr. Joe thing, and he looked younger than me. He actually looked younger than me, and not much, but like, you look a lot more cleaned up, and maybe like you never had addiction or drug problem in your life.
So, I have the same feeling though. Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Okay. Like your 60-year-old self's looking,
she's
pretty like
vibrant,
radiant, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So yeah. So that's 25 years more of earth living, AI adopting, spiritual advancement, all of this advancement. Well, that's probably true. It's probably true, and probably like we're just tapping in. This isn't, okay. This is probably like so tactile and technologically like real. And then our 10-year-old selves are right there next to us too. It's bizarro world.
It's amazing. So. It's amazing. We are a collective. As when you were opening and talking about you and the collective, we are that collective. I personally believe.
Yeah. Thank you.
So this has been amazing. How can people reach out to you if you want them to?
Yeah, I'm up to some stuff. So yeah, follow me on Instagram at DominicFlores40. If you want to see my acting stuff, if you're a producer or someone, IMDb, Dominic Flores. Yeah, I need to get more in a little bit of TikTok action, huh? If you want to know about ceremonies and things of that nature coming up from me, email me at DominicFlores40@gmail.com. And there's a website called smoochit.com that has more information about the ceremonies I facilitate and things of that nature. You can email me through there too. So, because who knows what we're up to? Who knows where we're going to co-create too? So, thanks.
Perfect. And I'll put all of that in the show notes. And thank you, everyone, so much for listening.
Thank you again.
And if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Instagram at Mental Magic Podcast with a period in between each word. Thanks as always for listening. Bye.